Rolling Shmuel Aleph, we're in Perek Vav. We're up to Pasuk Gimel. This was talking about, which we haven't learned this Perek for quite a bit because of Pesach and everything. The Perek began discussing how the Plishtim wished to get rid of the Aron because of the illnesses that were occurring, and that what they did was they put this the Aron on a wagon, and on that wagon, which was unusual because the animals were never pulled anything before, never had a yoke upon them, and also they were manikos, they were just gave birth, and this was some type of a form of a nisayon to determine whether or not Hashem really is in control. And of course Hashem was in control, and they went all the way to the Jewish camp. And that's where people noticed this unbelievable sight that these animals, without being guided, made it to Beit Shemesh. So let's continue with Pasuk Gimel. Beit Shemesh Kotsrim Katsir Chitim Be'emek. So in this bordering town, which was occupied by the Jewish people, near the Plishtim, was a place called Beit Shemesh, where there were people who were harvesting their wheat. But Yisus a Nahem, and they lifted up their eyes, Viru es Haaron, Viyismuchulichos. So they looked at the Aron, and they were happy. They were so happy to see it. And on the surface, you would say, that's a tremendous milah, because after all, it's showing that they cared so much about the Aron. It was gone for so many years, and now finally it's back. Viyismuchulichos. We're going to see that the Bnei Israel, Jewish people, are going to be punished in Beit Shemesh for not acting appropriately in the presence of the Aron. So we look at Rashi in Pasuk Gimel. Rashi says like this: what was going on? V'yismach liros ha'yimistaklan heich hu ba levado. They were staring at this and wondering how it was possible that it got there by itself. And umisimchasam. And although they were happy, there was also an element of lightheadedness attached to it. So they didn't show it the proper respect, they didn't show the proper honor, and also was not looked upon in a matter of aim of fear and awe. And therefore, for that, we're going to say they're going to be punished. That's how Rashi interprets it. The Rashi interprets that the Lashon Simcha is a lashon of an element of kalos rosh. That's something we're going to see later on Shmuel Bet. And Shmuel Bet's going to discuss also how the Aron was being brought from one place to the next, and there was a person who, by the name of Uzzah, who wished to grab hold of the Aron because it was slipping, and it says over there that they were v'yismachu. And the question is that an inner joy or an external? So just because a person acts happy, that doesn't mean they really feel the true element of simcha that they should feel for the Aron. And therefore this is also represented here by these people that didn't show the proper respect. V'yismachu liros. They were looking at it, that made them happy, it was an enjoyable thing to stare at, but it wasn't something which they showed the proper respect for. If we look in the Radak has a different explanation. The very bottom of this page, page 40, V'yismachu liros, says the Radak, Ad shimerov simcha, because they were so filled with happiness, parts of liros ba'aron, they made breaches in order to look into the aron, upaschu ba'aron masha b'socho. They wanted to take a peek. They wanted to see what was in it, what was inside the aron. Lafikach ne'enshu, and therefore that was the reason why they were punished. And based on a critical reading, it said, the Pasuk says, Shekosavu yavul liros kibalas ha-kodesh v'meis. If a person looks where they should not look, then they're going to be punished. And therefore, this is what they did. They opened it up. Maybe they were wondering. They knew that there was, typically, there was the luchos, which we said before, that Shaul grabbed them from Goliath and brought them back to Eli in Shiloh. But maybe they wanted to see what else was in there. Maybe there were some of the other things that were missing. Well, there's other things that were in the Aron. The Aron also had, according to the Gemara Baba Basra, a Sefer Torah, an actual scroll. So I think maybe that's why they wanted to look inside, but they didn't have the rights to do so. What? Right, the Mon, right, exactly. So there are certainly maybe logical reasons why they would want to look inside, they'd be tempted to want to look inside, but they really were not privy to have done so, and therefore they're going to be punished. Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk tells us, Hagola ba'a el stay Yehoshua beis Hashimshi. So this wagon, which of course the Aron was on it, went to a field of belonging to a person by the name of Yeshua who lived in Beit Shimshi, in this place, Beit Shemesh. The Ta'amud Sham and the wagons stopped right there. The Sham Evan Gedol. And then also there was a large rock. So what they did, they took this wagon and they chopped it up and made all that wood into firewood. That's a paros ha'el ol Hashem. And the paros that miraculously brought the Aron back to the Jewish people, they felt it was appropriate to make that, bring them as olos, as elevation offerings. Again, it seems like they did the right thing. They took the wagon, chopped it up, made that as the firewood to produce them as Mizbeach. And those paros that brought the Aron were given to Hashem as an olah, completely consumed.
Wouldn't that be, if we say that Mamie Coat and all that, wouldn't that be Tzah Ba'alei Chayim?
With what?
They should be returned to their calves.
Oh, why weren't they brought back?
Their Mamie Coat, the calves.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it was a pretty long distance. How did those nursing ones survive all that time? They probably were able to get from...
Another cow,
right. So, apparently that wasn't considered to be as much of an issue as Tzar Ba'alei Chayim. And we're also going to see, another question is why didn't they give it back? Because the Plishtim are actually going to be there until Pasuk Tet Zayin, a couple more Pesukim. But I felt that, apparently they felt that this was the right thing to do. The Shiloh is, was it the right thing to do? After all, how could you create a bubble? You know, to make your own private Mizbeach. So the Radak says, yes, you can. If you look on the top of page 42, the Radak says, Anshi Beit Shemesh, Boch Asi Ha'agola, they chopped up the wagon for firewood, the Aluparis Ola, and they used these cows as the carbon. Ki Hutru Habamos Mishit Charbashilo, Menikva Shir Behemus Yoch. So therefore, we say that the whole prohibition of having Habamos as long as there was a Mishkan. Mishkan Shiloh has been destroyed. Eli has died. His two children, Chavni and Pinchas, died. There's nothing going on in Shiloh. There's no Aron there. The Mishkan is no longer part. It is no longer connected there. So therefore, Bamos became permissible again. So this is following the historical perspective of why it was permissible. And just as a little bit of the history, that we had the Mishkan. In Mishkan Shiloh, was destroyed by, as we just saw a little while back. Then the Mishkan was moved to Nov Ir HaKohanim, and this was a temporary site. So the Bamos also at that time were permitted. That's basically at this time, and it was in Nov for 13 years, and then ultimately brought to Gibeon for 44 years until the Beis HaMikdash was constructed, and then at that time, since it's the Beis HaMikdash, one cannot build or bring sacrifices and construct their own bamos. But at this time, it was not a problem. Pasuk Tesva. Pasuk tells us, V'ha'leviim haridu es Aron Hashem. So the Leviim, they are the ones who are supposed to be involved in the transporting of the Aron, which is going to be one of the mistakes that David is going to make, that he should have had the Leviim carry the Aron to Yerushalayim. Instead, he put it on a wagon, just as we find in this story. There was a wagon, so he thought maybe she was a wagon. So the Leviim are the one that brought down the Aron Hashem, the Argaz, as well as the box, Asher Ito, that was with it, Asher Bo, which was in it, Klei Zahav, vessels, which were fashioned out of gold, the Asimu, El Evan Hagadol, and they put all of these things on this big rock in this area. The Anshe Beis Shemesh Ha'elu Alos, and the people in this city, they brought Karbonos, the Yizbechu Zvachim Yamahu Hashem. V'chamisha sarni plishtim ra'u. So the five plishtim governors saw all of this transpire in front of them. V'yashuvu Ekron b'yomahu. And they went back to Ekron on this particular day. And the question is, who cares? Why do we need to know that they went back to Ekron? This is a very interesting explanation brought down the bottom of page 42 in the English. It says, there's no apparent reason to report that the Philistines returned home. It may be that God influenced them to leave so that they would not witness the punishment he visited upon the people of Beit Shemesh. Had they seen it, they would probably have concluded that the previous plagues were not because they had sinned against the ark and Hashem, but rather because it was the nature of the ark to wreak destruction wherever it came to rest. So says the Parshos B'Sifrei Hanaviim. So therefore, B'Dafka, we need to point out the Yeshuvu, that they left before Hashem is going to bring about punishment to Klai Yisrael, because otherwise they would draw the conclusion and think, oh, see, that this is just this Aron just wreaks havoc wherever it goes. This is also the pshat, of course, when it comes to on Pesach in Mitzrayim, the whole story of the Choshech. Makas Choshech, why was it? So one pshat is that the Mitzrayim should not see the Bnei Yisrael punished, because the Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, the Mitzrayim would see it, they say, oh, so we're getting Makos, they're also getting Makos. And in fact, if you think about it, there's some Perushim that 4/5 died, right? Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael. So, in fact, if you just, logically, that sounds like there was a greater punishment for the Jews than all the Makos combined, if you think about it. I mean, realistically. You know, the big one was Makas Bechoros, but that was only one in a whole family. This is 80%, according to that explanation. So therefore, Hashem did not want them to witness such tragedy and destruction. Therefore, that's also possibly why Hashem sends them out, and why the Pasuk needs to save Yeshuva Ekron B'yamahu. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ve'ela Techorei Hazahav Asher Heshiva Plishtim Ashlam Hashem, and these were the Techori Zahav, the golden hemorrhoids, which were fashioned by the Plishtim, which they brought as a guilt offering. Lashdod Echa, L'Azo Echa, L'Ashkel Echa, L'Gas Echa, L'Ekron Echa. These are all cities which were occupied by the Philistines, and all of them were affected some way by having the Aron in their midst, and therefore, to show that they made a mistake, they brought these as a symbolism that it was God that brought about this punishment to them, that it wasn't just by chance. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. The Akbrei Hazahav, with regard to the Akbrei Hazahav, the mice, which are made out of gold, Mispar, the number, Kol Ari Plishtim, all the cities of the Plishtim, L'chameshes Hasaronim, corresponding to the five governors, Meir, Mibtsar, V'ad Kofer, HaProzi, the Ad Avel Hagadola, which we've been talking about, this big rock here, it seems like a misprint. It's called an Avel, not an Evan Gadola. Asher Hinichu Aleha Es Aron Hashem, the place where the Aron was placed, Ad Yom Hazeh till this day, B'Shtei Yoshua Beis Hashimshi. So what does it mean that it was Avel Hagadola? Shouldn't have said Evan Hagadola. So Rashi says like this. There's a couple explanations. Rashi begins in Pasuk Yud Ches and says Kfar Prizi Kfar She'en Lo Choma. First of all, that's something which does not have a wall. Then Rashi says Avel Hagadola. He Evan Hagadola Hamor Laval. This is really talking about the same big rock that was in the property of Yehoshua in Beit Shemesh. So you skip a line. So why then does it call it an avel, not an evan? Mipnei sheyiru lehem avelus bedavar kar avel. Because there's going to be tragedy, people are going to be mourning, people are going to be devastated over the loss of life in this area. Therefore, instead of calling it an evan, which of course it is, it's an evan gadol, big rock, but also an avel because of the avelus, the mourning that people experienced in that particular place. If we look at the words of the Mitzudas David, Mesudas David tells us in Pasuk Yudches, Avel al Echber HaZahav Hosifu, that with regard to the golden mice, they added, Ve'hevi'u Echad Mul Kol Ir, and they brought one for every city, Vol Chemish Lovad Kediri HaKosmin. The Kosmin, the experts and knowledgeable people that they turned to, said, make five of them. They went with Nim Rishos Adin, they made even more of these things. And that's what this Pasuk is alluding to. Pasuk attests. The next Pasuk tells us, Vayach Bi'anshe Beis Shemesh. And tragically, here we find this very powerful Pasuk, that the people in Beit Shemesh were hit, were smote, were killed. Ki ra'u ba'aharon Hashem, because they saw ba'aharon, which alludes to what we said before. It says that they looked bit Aharon in the Aharon. That's what the pasuk sounds to be clear that that's what they did. Beyach ba'om shivim ish, chamishim elef ish. And there were 70 people that died, 50,000. So it's a very strange lashon. Was it 50,000? Was it 70? Maybe it was 50,070. These abu ha'om, and there the nation mourned. Ki hikar Hashem ba'om makir gadol, because Hashem smote them with a tremendous, tremendous, powerful, a very powerful blow. V'yom, we're going to go back to that pasuk in a minute. Let's just finish the parak. V'yom anshei beis shemesh, the people in that city, after seeing this death, which we'll discuss the death count in a minute, mi yochol la'amol lefnei Hashem elokim hakadosh hazeh, who can stand in front of this powerful God such as Hashem? The el mi alem yaleinu, and who can allow this ark, the Aaron, to ascend from among us? The Yishchu Molochim El Yoshvi Kiryas Yarim Lamor. So they bore, they sent emissaries to the inhabitants of Kiryas Yarim, and they said, Heshivu Plishtim is Aaron Hashem, that the Plishtim returned the Aaron, Redu Alu Oso Aleichem. Come down and bring it unto yourselves. We're going to see that they really were concerned about keeping the Aron because they saw the tragedy that struck in their city. So what exactly happened over here? So we go back, that's the conclusion of the parak, but now let's understand a little bit better. Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Tes, Rashi tells us as follows. We skip to the very bottom of this. Rashi, on the previous page, quoting the Gemara in Sota, Rabosteinu Amru Shivim Ish. Really, even though the Pasuk says that there was 70, and then it says there was 50,000, really, shivim ish, there was 70. Shekol echad hoya shakul chamishim elef. But those 70 were in such a great madrega, they were such great people, it was equivalent to the loss of 50,000 regular people. Oh, chamishim elef ish, maybe it was 50,000. Shekol echad shakul kishivim sanhedrin. That the 50,000 people, not that there's just 50,000 regular people, but every single one of those people were in such a great madrega, they were equivalent to the Sanhedrin. Each person could have sat in the Sanhedrin. And in the English over here, it says on page 53, according to the words of the Abarbanel, really it wasn't 50,000 Jews that died, but rather 70 Jews died in Beit Shemesh. And when it says there was 50,000, it's not referring to the Jewish people, rather to the Plishtim. So, rather, the way to read the pasuk is in Beit Shemesh there was shivim ish, 70 Jews died, chamishim elef. But when it came to the Plishtim's death count, that was much more significant. It was 50,000. Now, what exactly then is the reason why they died? So we already saw before the pshat and Rashi that kalas rosh, they had lightheadedness. According to the opinion of the Radak, he says that they looked inside the arum. So now if we look at another explanation of the Radak, it's very fascinating, his approach. He gives a couple explanations. Ki ra'u ba'aharon. Mehem amru shayu kotsrim mishtachanim. So some say that their mistake was that they were cutting and bowing down. They were cut. It was during the time of the harvest, and they were bowing down when they saw the Aron. Kolomar. Shelo henichum melachtem ba'avuro. They did not stop doing their work at the time in which they were bowing down to the Aron. Mehem Amru, we're going to get back to that. Sh'amru, that they said, Devarim Hashem Hoyu Kneged Aron. They spoke ways which were not nice. The Amr, they said, for example, Man amirecha de amris, uman fayascha de faisis. What angered you that you left, O Aaron? And what appeased you, Aaron, that you came back? Why did you leave us? Why are you back? What mistakes? We never made any mistakes that you have left, and we haven't changed anyway. So why are you here? V'divrei hadrash hazeh haya perish. That they spoke a disgraceful way. I like the other explanation that I said before, that it says that they opened up that they saw what was inside. That's why this pasuk says Ba'aron Hashem. Ba'aron v'lo Amar Aron. It doesn't say they saw the Aron, it says they saw Be'aron, in it. And therefore that was their mistake by looking inside. But one could derive, based on the words of the Radak, another idea. The Radak said that their mistake was that they were kotzrim mishtachavim. They bowed down to the Aaron. They showed kavod to the Aaron. They never showed a lack of kalos rosh to the Aaron. So in that case, what did they do wrong? So the Radak says their mistake was they didn't stop doing their work. They were so busy doing their work that they wanted to kill two birds with one stone and bow down at the same time. And this is a Musar HaSkel that we can learn from ourselves. Very often, let's say on Friday night, a person washes, right? And you're about to bench, and you're sick of tired, you want to get to bed, or you want to read, you want to do whatever, and you have your whole table that you have to clean up, and you're about to bench. So I know benching, Baal Peh, I've benched 1,000 times. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say Berachas HaMazon. But while I'm saying Berachas HaMazon, I'm doing this, I'm moving, and I'm saying every single word. I'm cleaning up, I'm this, I'm mixing, moving all around. Why would that be any different than Koytzer Mishachvim? A person is busy doing their work in their field, and there they are bowing down. And we find this continuously, this potential issue. And to close, an interesting story by Rav Levi Berdichev. The Berdichev Rebbe once saw an individual that he was changing a tire. And you can say, so what? He's changing a tire. He was wearing tefillin. So everyone was like, Pasnish, he's there changing a tire and tefillin. What a lack of kavod, what a lack of respect. So the Berdichev Rebbe looked up and to Himmel, to Shemayim, and he said, you see how great you people of Klal Yisrael, the Jews that you have, that they're willing to do the avoda of Hashem even while they're changing tires, right? They're always willing to serve you, Hashem, even when you're changing a tire. But the reality is it's a chisson, that we're busy doing everything else instead of focusing at the task at hand, and how disrespectful it really is if you think about it. That if you're davening to Hashem, like sometimes you're davening to Hashem and you're in the middle of mincha and your phone rings, so you look at it and you check and you do this and you're looking around, you're doing a million other things other than focusing on what you should be focusing on. And it's a tremendous lack of respect. I mean, if a person, I'm having a conversation with you and there you are, you're looking the other way, you're ignoring me, it's like, you're not really interested. You're going through the motions of having a conversation with me, but you're really not interested. And I find it insulting. And that's how Hashem looked at it as well. And therefore, according to the Radak, the mistake potentially could have been that the fact that the Bnei Yisrael, they bowed down to the Aaron. They showed the respect to the Aaron, but they just couldn't stop harvesting. They couldn't stop their work. And because they didn't stop their work, unfortunately, the Bnei Yisrael were punished. Possibly, according to one shot in Rashi, as many 50,000 people died that day in Beit Shemesh. It was so devastating that Hashem didn't even want the Plishtim to have witnessed this downfall of Klal Yisrael. And for this, ultimately, the Aron is going to be moved out of their hands and hopefully brought to somewhere else in which respect will continuously be shown to it. We'll stop here.